Thinking about joining us in Indianapolis for the Gospel Coalition's 2024 Women's Conference? The regular rate price of $239 goes up to $259 on May 8th. This is your final chance to save on your registration. Join us June 20th through the 22nd to feast together on the words of Jesus with keynote messages from Jen Wilkin, Melissa Kruger, David Platt, and more, and featuring worship music led by Shane and Shane. Sign up before the price increases on May 8th at tgcw24.org.
There is a scripture in Romans 12:13, which says, share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. And I think that it just sums it up in the sense of like bearing one another's burdens, that it's not just providing food, because you can provide the food, but how do you care for the soul? How do you meet the person where they are to say, I know you have a need because I have need and we're in this together. And so how can I love you? How can I care for you? So it seems like there's an affection that's attached to hospitality. There's a love there that's required. Well, ladies, we're just grateful and excited to be able to talk some more for GLOW, our podcast from the Gospel Coalition Podcast Network. We're four women from four different parts of the world gathered together to talk about God and his work in our lives and ministries and around the globe. And so today we're going to be talking about how to receive others with hospitality. Before we jump in, though, why don't you guys just share your name for those who are listening, where you were born and where you're from, where you currently live.
Okay. My name is Aisha de Lopez. I'm from Guatemala and I live in Guatemala City.
Awesome.
I'm Sharon Dickens. I was born in Edinburgh and I'm from Edinburgh.
My name is Sujin Park. I was born in Seoul, Korea, and now I live in Northern Virginia.
And I'm Blair Lynn, here from the United States. I was born in Michigan, raised in California, and now live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And as we gather together to have these conversations, sometimes when women gather together to have or engage in hospitality, sometimes the lines can get crossed. It's kind of hard to get on the same page. I have a friend who actually leads women's ministry at her church, and she has a lot of women from different nations at her church, and they were getting together for hospitality. And one of the women said, you know, I want everyone to bring hors d'oeuvres. And there was a sister, I don't remember the country she's from in Africa, who bought a rice dish. That was her contribution. And the woman who said she wanted them to bring hors d'oeuvres got upset. I said hors d'oeuvres. And the woman from Africa is like, well, this is what we bring traditionally, you know. And my friend kind of had to get in the middle and say, well, what is the whole goal? What's the purpose? Why are we doing this, right?
Wow.
And I think sometimes we can miss the goal. 1 Peter 4:9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. So it's caring for people you regularly see and know. But then also we see Jesus talk about our love for strangers, caring for those that you don't know. In Matthew 25, he says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Truly, I say to you, what you did to the least of these, my brothers, you did unto me. So we see here this love for stranger, treating a stranger like a friend. And I guess the root word that we find in hospitality is what we find in like hospital, hostel, hotel, right? So I'm just wondering, as you guys have read the scripture, what scriptures have come to mind as you've thought about like caring for others, being hospitable in a sacrificial way?
Yeah, for me, there's one passage that I remember from seminary that really stood out for me is Isaiah 58. And so in that chapter, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to the nation and he's talking about true fasting versus false fasting. So kind of true worship and false worship. And he begins by saying false worship is you doing all the religious things and not caring for the well-being of others. And then the second half, he talks about true fasting, true worship. And he says, is this not the fast that I choose? And in verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. So I think that really convicted me that, you know, to have true worship is to have true hospitality, which is not just to welcome people, not just to entertain, but to meet a need, to meet the needs of others. And that's what true fasting, true worship is.
Totally. When you mention hospitality, I think it's a very good point to make, that it's something in our head goes to the stereotypical image of you opening up your home to do like a dinner party, which is part, can be part of hospitality. But I go back to the way the Lord showed up on earth and the way that he from the start was so intentional in asking for hospitality, even for himself and his little family, and how it was, you know, upon strangers to make it safe for a baby to be born. And of course, biblical hospitality made it possible for the kingdom to advance because there was no hotels, no restaurants. So you depended on the kindness of other believers in other cities. But I think it's a statement. Everything that the Lord willed to happen while he was in the flesh and always, there's no loose end. And so in the way he showed up and the way he asked us to welcome him is a very, very potent statement for us today in the way that we're supposed to show each other the love of himself.
That really strikes me, just thinking about Jesus, the preeminent one, who owns everything, humbling himself in this way, that he has need as a baby, you know, need from his parents, but also need, as you said, needing a place to go, you know, to be born. It just strikes me. And we are so needy, but I think we often feel like, oh, we got it together. We're doing all right, you know, and we often don't have that same disposition that I'm going to reach out and help someone else. You know, like we're in the same situation. It makes me think actually on the way here, I took a Uber and the guy who was driving, he was from Togo in Africa. And he just started sharing about how, you know, as he grew up, he said it was really communal. You know, he said it's different from here in the States because he's been in the States for about 15 to 20 years. He said anyone who had a home, that meant I had a home. You know, any door, he says, I can go and go in that open door. And we were a community in that way, which is very different than our experience, in at least in the United States. So,
wow. And I love to notice contrast in scripture, in life. And you just mentioned how hospitality is just the absolute opposite of pride. In both ways, because you need to be really humble to ask for hospitality and also to give true hospitality. And I was thinking just this morning about what we're going to talk about in this episode and thought, I would love for us to be known as people that are beyond nice. Mm. Not just, they're nice people, you know, because we can be nice just, you know, from a tooth out, as we say in Guatemala, but to really be deeply committed to love, because that's the way we are known to the world. That's the way we witness, by our love, not by our niceness. So it's a difference.
That's good. Yeah. I was thinking about, you know, we, just to piggyback, we love because he first loved us. And just thinking about God's heart throughout the scripture for, you know, to care for those who did not have, to care for the stranger. Our church is going through Exodus right now. And one of the passages we just came across was, you know, God telling Moses to tell the Israelites that they were to tend their field for 6 years. And then that seventh year, they were not to do anything with the field, but they were to open their field to provide for those that didn't have. So to provide for those who were poor, those who were the stranger as they came through. We see it in Ruth also, right? You know, her kind of gleaning from the fields. And this is God's heart throughout scripture, to care for those who are marginalized, who don't have. And we ought to be imitating God and caring in that same way.
And I think a thought I had when you were speaking, Aisha, is that temptation to just be nice. And I think as Christian women, often that's the temptation, right, is to entertain instead of being hospitable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it comes through this pressure of your home must be perfectly tidy and neat and beautiful, and your meal has to be perfect. And there's so much pressure to entertain people, I think, in nowadays, especially, you know, people on social media, and you compare and you want to be seen in a certain way. And so I would love for us to talk a little bit about that too. Like, what do we feel like is the difference between entertaining and being hospitable? Do you guys feel like there's a difference?
I mean, I would say there's a clear difference. So hospitality, when we're thinking about what we've just been talking about, it's loving and it's sacrificially giving of yourself. Even when it's not your friends or your family. It's that broader sense of anybody, even the ones you don't quite like or not quite your cup of tea. Whereas entertainment for me is the hanging out with your pals. There's nothing sacrificial about that at all. So yeah, I would say there's a very clear definition of that sacrificially giving of yourself to all, not just your friends.
Yeah, I once heard Christy, and I don't know how to say the last name really well, but Anyamwile. And it was such a word of comfort for me, because she said, maybe you're at a stage in your life where hospitality will look like having a younger girl come to your house while you fold laundry. And I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. I do have time for you. If you have the will to be, you know, to be intentional, you will find the space to be hospitable in whatever it is that you're living through, you know? And it's not about the Pinterest, you know, scene.
That's right. There is a scripture in Romans 12:13, which says, share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. And I think that it just sums it up in the sense of like bearing one another's burdens, that it's not just providing food, because you can provide the food, but how do you care for the soul? How do you meet the person where they are? You know, to say, I know you have a need because I have need and we're in this together. And so how can I love you? How can I care for you? So it seems like there's an affection that's attached to hospitality. There's a love there that's required.
You hear it in that word pursue. I mean, It's easy just to like order takeout for someone or go to Costco and buy like a pizza for them or like even bring them round to dinner. But the word pursue makes it feel much more striving after. Mm. Like there's an effort that's in there that we've got to go beyond just the everyday normal things to be actively, intentionally involved in someone's life.
Yeah. Recently, I came across a single young mom at a church, and she is, you know, surrounded by people. But she says with crying, you know, eyes, she said, they send me groceries and I'm thankful, but I don't want the rice. I don't want the vegetables. I want a hug.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that costs something.
I think I'm going to cry.
Yeah. But that's the word, though. It's exactly. Costly.
Exactly. Right.
And so when it's given of material things, I mean, if like buying the groceries, there's a cost to that because we pay for it. But there's no real cost emotionally to us sacrificially given there.
But I also think this definition of hospitality, it allows those who may not have a home to welcome people into, you can still be hospitable, right? Even being outside of the home, your presence can be hospitable in the affection you give, the emotional energy you give, the investment you put into someone. And so as challenging as this definition is, I also think it frees us from this pressure to have a tidy home, a spacious home, a space that people can come into, right? I think no matter what season of life you're in, you can still be hospitable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we will devote a whole episode to orphan care and widows. But when it says visit the orphan, there's some versions of the Bible that says visit. You imagine this sort of, you know, hi, how are you? Let's have a cup of tea. And it's nothing like that. It's investing yourself into the well-being of the other person. It goes beyond, you know, social etiquette, where, you know, it's inconvenient.
I think that's the thing that as Christians we struggle with, because we have these busy lives, we have stuff to do, and actually sacrificially giving of yourself means that something in our little schedules has to give.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how much we don't want it to be, but our lives, they revolve around us. And we need to recheck that. I mean, the reality is all of us have time for one more person in our lives. I mean, if we haven't, there's something very wrong with our schedules. Like, we need to be able to, like you say, that giving of that, sacrificially finding the time for, to be intentional, make effort to be in someone's life. And the trouble is, that's the bit we just too often don't want to do it.
Yeah, I remember going to a funeral, a burial, actually. And a woman comes up to me and says, I feel so bad I haven't been able to serve at church, but my elderly father is so ill. And I'm like, sister, you are serving him. You are absolutely worshiping the Lord with your elderly dad. And she looked at me so relieved, like, I hadn't thought of it like that. And I'm like, yes, yes, absolutely. Being hospitable is actually a form of worship.
That's good. And I think that's important to note, too, because there's some people who may have more of a tendency towards works, and they can have, you know, they can feel boggled down. Here's another thing that I have to do. And I think it is important to know, like, well, what are the priorities that the Lord has you to do in your life at this in this particular season? So, you know, if you're a mom with a newborn, you may not need to have 10 people in your home, right? You know what I mean? Not right now. But, you know, I think it's important. And that's, I think, the beauty of community, that you don't have to figure all those things out by yourself. There's a community in your local church that can help you sort through, you know, what can I handle? Because it's important to know our limits. What is the Lord calling me to do? How is he challenging me? I don't want to be idle, but I also don't want to be stressed out trying to do something in my own strength. And I think that leads to the next question is there ever a time where it's good not to have someone in your home?
One thought that comes to mind as someone, like a single woman, I think sometimes there are fears I have about opening up my home to a certain extent. And I think maybe you guys have a word to share about it. Are there times where we can have certain boundaries and that's okay? Because I think there can be a pressure to, when we talk about hospitality as Christians, there can be an overwhelming pressure to just open up your home constantly to whoever, right? But I think there are certain maybe wisdom and discernment we can use in that too. What would you guys say to that?
As a single woman, I mean, it depends on the hospitality. And so if we're talking about inviting people home for a meal, I genuinely would think very intentionally about who I invite. So there would be either all female or a fair mix, so that, like, there wasn't just me and some random guys. And so that one's easy to navigate. But when we're talking about hospitality, when we're inviting people to come and live with us, I think that's a much bigger question to ask. I mean, there's some times where the person that's coming to live with you, I've had a couple of girls come to live with me, and each of them bring situations that you need to consider. I mean, if you're a family and you've got small kids, there might be some scenarios you don't necessarily want in your house, but everybody's different. And so I think those things with wise counsel you need to sit down and work through. And I think it was right when you said not everybody's the same. Like, and it's not everybody's in the same season of life at the same time of life. But to aimlessly go through something without thinking it through is not wise.
One thing I think comes to mind as I listen to all of you is this idea of like a circle of influence. Everybody has been given a specific circle of influence, and it's okay that you can't be hospitable to everyone around you, that God has given you a certain net of people that he wants you to invest in. And I think that's something that needs to be said out loud too, to give people freedom from any burden of thinking that they have to be hospitable to every person in their church or their community or environment. Just focus on the few that God has given in your life in that season.
And sometimes being hospitable means being a connector, So I'm not going to be able to take care of you or, devote the hours that you in this season need. And I recognize that. So I'm going to connect you to a sister that actually does have the time and is absolutely capable of bringing you into her life and tend to you. Right. You know, recognizing your boundaries is humble too. And we need to do that.
Absolutely. It makes me think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, so you have in this situation, this guy who's been beaten, he has need. And then the Samaritan comes and cares for his need, but then he puts him in an inn. He doesn't bring him home. So there's a situation where maybe, we don't know the reason why. We don't know the context of why he decided to make that decision, but he made sure that that person was cared for. He supplied the need. He was hospitable. He took care of the tab for the inn. Praise God for that.
Exactly.
I want to think through just this last question of what we've been doing recently, thinking through how we can embrace our diversity, our differences. And so how are we light in our differences when it comes to being hospitable? So, Blair, why don't we start with you? Tell me something that, how do you show hospitality where you come from?
Yeah, this makes me think about my grandmother, who had a very considerably small house, about 1,000 square feet. But when I was a young child, I didn't know the house was that small, you know? I thought it was so big because she would often have so many people come and gather for prayer breakfasts and, you know, just having Bible studies, you know, hosting people. And one of the things just historically that kind of came with this idea of the Great Migration. So after there was the emancipation of those who were enslaved, a lot of people, they moved up north in the United States. But during that time, it was Jim Crow. And so when it was time to visit family members and you might drive from the north back down south, you could not stop on the way. So you couldn't stop at a hotel. You couldn't stop to get gas. There were sundown towns. And so what you would do is you would have to know someone whose home you could stay at. And so my grandmother, her home was one of those homes. And so when people would come, she would have a full meal, fried chicken, have greens and cornbread and macaroni and cheese and candied yams and, you know, and just a whole spread and always just welcoming, always, you know, saying whoever wants to come, come. So that's been my experience. My grandmother, who's now with the Lord, that was my first experience of true hospitality, and her home felt like home.
Wow. I wanna meet her when I get to heaven. Mm. Yes. Yes. Let's meet at her place.
That's right.
For fried chicken.
For fried chicken and cornbread.
Yeah, what a great, that is really a great example she showed you from a very young age.
I'm so thankful for her.
Yeah, I would think there are many ways Guatemalans are hospitable, but we really love to feed you. I think there's a common denominator when it comes to food, right? That's why our Lord also reminds us to ask about his second coming with a meal, right? So I think, yes, and my great-grandmother had a bakery. And so her free time, she died when she was 101. And she kept on baking well into her 90s. She wasn't this warm persona. She wasn't, you know, this cute little grandma. She wasn't. But she would bake. And she would fill the house with food. And she would offer you food. And so I do remember that. And I think food carries so much symbolism. And even in trauma care that I've been able to learn so much the last few years, you are taught that the action of feeding a newborn in the mouth is just such a connecting point that you are actually encouraged to do that even with older kids, you know, to feed in the mouth. So I think, I don't know, it's very deep, the thing about food.
Something very, brings you together, eating together. What about you, Soojin?
Yeah, I mean, food is huge in Korean American culture too. You could show up at someone's house at 11 p.m. and they'll force you to eat a home-cooked meal because that's just the way that I think Koreans are. And there's even a whole category of food in Korea called like 잔치 음식, which just means like party food or celebration food, which is just the kind of food that you eat when lots of people gather together. And I think another unique aspect of Korean hospitality, when you go visit someone's home, you always take a gift. So there's always kind of this mutual hospitality. Like, it's ingrained in my brain. I will never visit someone's home without a gift because it's such a strong part of our culture.
We've been talking about this. We were talking about this again last night. And it feels like, as we've been sharing and getting to know each other, that we're going down memory lane. It brings back all these memories. And one of the things I remember as a kid, part of my culture is that whoever you're hanging out with, you could be five of you, there could be three of you, or 20 of you. If you come home and it's dinner time, your mum's feeding everybody. And so it's the same through generations. Whoever's in the house at dinner time gets fed. And so I always loved that as a kid. You always knew if somebody was making something nice, where you wanted to be at a specific time. But I've really loved chatting to you girls, and I'm going to close now by reminding us of Matthew 5, 14 to 16, which says, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set upon a hill shall not be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but a light stands and is given light to all who are in the house. It is the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Thank you for your sharing, and thank you for your time, and we'll speak again soon.
GLOW is a part of the Gospel Coalition podcast network. To listen to more shows by TGC, visit tgc.org/podcasts.